Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Today's episode is a full session Gary did the other day on Twitter Spaces. There was a lot of good discussion on business, Gary's current thoughts on the Web3 space, and a really good talk with a woman named Tracy. The audio is a little rough, but I think it's still a really good listen and you'll enjoy it. So we hope you enjoy the content and thanks for listening.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Happy New Year. Hope everyone's healthy and happy. Had some nice time with family and friends or themselves or whatever is best for them. And excited to be heading into 2023. Really excited about this chat. Want to do more Twitter spaces. We're going to focus on business, leadership, management, mindset, entrepreneurship. Obviously, I'm sure there'll be some Web3 questions as well. You know, that's I'm happy to answer things. Just want to do a smorgasbord of Q&A. And so I'm genuinely excited about it.
All right, let's do it. Chili, if you want to go ahead and unmute.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Spaces, Gary V.
How are you, Chili?
What was I going to say? I'm good. Was it the red glasses that lured you in? Because I'm sure you have plenty of lookers in there, and you came straight to me, and I can kind of guess why.
It was a very random. I literally was just randomly clicking on things like, I don't know what my subconscious did, Chili. Maybe it's the robot.
Nothing is random in this universe, Mr. V. Nothing is random.
I respect that. What can I answer for you, my friend?
So for a newbie coming into the space that's got, you know, fresh ideas and fresh talent, like in Web2, if I want to set up a company, I just kind of went with it and learned on the job. What's the best sort of entry or approach, would you say, for a newbie setting up their own project in this space to do it properly?
You know, to focus on providing value to the consumer. I feel like the gold rush of the last couple of years created a lot of frameworks that weren't focused on what's in it for the person that buys it. For me, VCon and a three-year conference is how I thought about the pricing of the initial asset. As someone who collects sports cards and other things of that nature, I understand the concept of collecting, but you know, a trading card or an art piece of art is only valuable because there's demand. And that's something that I think a lot of projects have not thought about, which is creating demand. You know, Michael Jordan's play on the basketball court created the demand for his first card, and that was a well-established market. And so I think that's why that worked. I think for a lot of NFT projects, if we're talking about that space, and I think that's what you're saying when you said Web2 and Web3, you know, I don't think people thought through the long-term demand and value.
Sorry, I have to agree as well. I think Web3 or the majority of projects out there right now really have missed the mark massively on the accumulated wealth, and they've not distributed it back out into the community. And I think that's what we've massively missed, because you know the majority of people are down, and it really shouldn't be that way.
Well, of course it should be that way, because everyone was greedy. Most people were buying because they wanted to flip it. It wasn't just creators. Let there be no confusion.
No. I mean everybody. Yeah, of course.
And it should be that way. There's a reason why I made 4,000 videos last year and commented in every nook and cranny about 99% going to zero. You know, most things do go to zero. NFTs are a macro thing. That's like saying stuffed animals, right? And so most stuffed animals, if you go to eBay right now, are not worth more than what people paid for them. But whether it's a Stife doll, whether it's a rare Care Bear, whether it's a rare, you know, South Park plush toy, many are worth more than they were paid for. And so, but by percentage, only 1%. Most trading cards, most proper football stickers, most, you know, pieces of art aren't worth more in demand. And so, you know, I think that the whole space was in a gold rush, very similar to 99 and 2000 stock market. And so I think for people like yourself who are thinking about projects, this is what I do for myself. We need to be thinking about what can we do to create demand over a long period of time so that when 2030 and 2040 and 2050 comes, people feel good about buying it, whether they bought it for investment purposes or the value they got from the smart contract, which I think will be more and more of what the space continues to build, which is this NFT does X and you paid $304 or $30 for it, and that delivered on the value of X, not the speculation of something going up.
Yeah. I've thought kind of 5, 10, 15 years down the line when I've kind of mapped it out in my head, because it's not really an art project like what we've seen out there. Mine's going to be kind of a membership, so to speak. Which, yeah, yeah, I'll be charismatic.
I think the good news is that the market right now is not looking for you to have that thing go way up immediately and trade on it. So you're going into a better environment. This is a better environment for builders. So I'm going to keep it moving because I want to get to a lot of people. I appreciate you. And we'll talk
soon. Thank you. See you later. Yeah,
take care.
Thanks, Healy. Kevin, you're up next. If you have a question for Gary, you can go ahead and unmute.
Yes. Hi, how you doing, Gary? Thank you so much for inviting me up. I just wanted to say I really appreciate everything you do. And I just wanted to ask, how important do you think it is for me to have my new business listed in with Web3 and how much should a website cost?
Yeah, what's the business, Kevin?
So I make an innovative cleaning product for restaurants and for homes. It's made from water, salt, and electricity.
Love it.
And it has no chemicals, and it's all approved by the health department. And
love it.
Restaurants
and
love
was
it
the last
actually
part of,
what, does the job to clean.
Understood. Love it. And was the last part of your question a totally separate thing of like how much should a website cost?
Yeah, like how much should I invest in a Web3, website?
And if I had your product, I would invest zero. I don't think you need the blockchain for a B2B cleaning product right this second. I think over time, the blockchain will impact your business on the contracts you make with people. We'll go from paper or PDFs to things that happen on the blockchain. I think there's a lot of ways that Web3 will eventually, decentralized servers, blockchains, will impact the way you report taxes, the way you do contracts. But if I have your business right now, you don't need to have an NFT project or any Web3 components to it. It's not a requirement or even a necessity or even like a nice to have at this point if I had your business. Are you selling it direct to consumer or are you selling it to B2B?
Mostly just to restaurants right now. Yeah. I do sell it to consumers, but it's really important to get it into the restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. Kev, this is more like having an ideology that you need a Web3 component when you don't actually need a Web3 component.
Okay. Now for my contracts, the contracts are kind of important with the restaurants. Is that something that I should initiate with the Web3 and the blockchain?
No, because 99.99999999999999% of restaurants will have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. And they'd rather sign on paper. We barely have restaurant owners willing to do it on PDF and auto signature, let alone paper, let alone fucking blockchain.
Okay.
This is ideology of like, I want to be first, but you don't need to be first when it's not providing value just yet. But the fact that you're keeping an eye on it may lead to other opportunities over the next 10 years.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Of course, brother.
Really
Happy New Year.
It.
Of course, my friend. Just to remind everybody, thrilled to, because a lot of people were hitting me up about this. I know there's plenty of people that want to talk Web3 and I'm all out. By the way, I'm here for Q&A. Whatever comes out of people's mouths is what we're going to do. But I know a lot of people were hitting me up about just general business, like hiring and firing and, many, many, many different kind of things. And so I just want to make sure that everybody here feels very allowed to go in any direction that's in the best interest of what's in it for them. I'm here to be here for you. And so that's what I want to focus on. But I can go in a lot of different places. And I'm happy to just do Web3. So whatever's on everybody's mind. Go ahead, my friend.
Benji, you're up next. Do you want to go ahead and unmute?
Thank you. First off, Gary, great to be on here. Thank you for everything you do. I want to send some flowers to you because you called everything that's happening right now for so many years, for literally a decade. It was so easy. Obviously, putting into context, you still had to put out effort. But I mean, like money was free. Everybody's hype about crypto and NFTs. And now we're in what I guess you could say is a winter. I only got into VFriends, honestly, because you said, hey, get some ETH way back when, right? And get Series 1 I did. So my question is really on behalf of creators.
Yes.
When I coach people right now, creators, I tell them right now is the time to grind and hustle and to really figure out how do you raise the value you have to the market, because everybody is, all sad and they're negative. Yep. And right now is the time to really work hard. But with the extra time you have, how do you plant seeds or invest or give to the NFT projects that you are a part of? What's the best ROI for somebody that either has a day job or is a creator full-time like myself to be able to support the community? Because it's easy to be hype and excited when times are good. Right now, what I'm seeing is a lot less activity in these projects. So what's your advice to creators specifically about how they can participate and elevate the projects, including VFriends, that they're a part of?
If somebody with an audience wants to elevate a project because either they hold tokens, NFTs, within that project and would like to see more people want them, thus helping themselves, and or they want to do it because, for example, in your world, like you have actual friends potentially who you don't have ownership of NFTs, but you'd like to see them be successful in their dreams and hopes. I bought so many one-of-one artists and small projects last year, the year before, because I just wanted to see the human involved succeed, and I wanted the support, and I knew I had a platform, and you know, and I tried to guess on my intuition who I thought was an actual artist or somebody that wanted to do this long term. There's a couple ways. One, Benj, as you may know, a lot of these projects have Creative Commons, where if you own the NFT, you actually have legal ability to do things with that character. You're aware of that, like a Bored Ape, you can go and make your thing. I see your thumbs up. So in that scenario, as you can imagine, creators have unlimited power. They can do whatever the hell they want. With mine, for example, I went the other way because I've always dreamed about building a Disney, a Pokemon, a, you know, and so I wanted to do that. Like, that's what I want. And obviously, releasing that creative control could actually negatively impact it, the kind of journey that I want to be on. And so for me, you know, I don't want anyone who holds a VFriend to feel any obligation that they need to be a part of building awareness or care about it. But if they choose to, there's just a million ways. I mean, like, one can buy a $20 toy from Macy's Toys R Us and put it into their podcast studio. That you can, like, bringing awareness is an unlimited game when you're a creator with an audience. You can bring awareness at all times. I think the thing that people have to be careful of is like over-promising and under-delivering. You know, for me, I think I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm an investor, a buyer, an enthusiast, a collector of many projects. And really the way I'm most supporting it, even with a big platform, is patience. Just letting people build, letting, you know, people have time. I'm obviously very empathetic to that because I'm doing the same. A couple of people, when I've been saying, hey, I'm going to do this talk, like, welcome back to NFT land. I'm like, I was laughing, like, September, October, November, December. I'm in unlimited NFT meetings, VFriends meetings. I just don't feel like, you know, in the beginning, back in like January, February, March, April of 20, you know, there was of 2021, it was more about what I did with you, Benji, right? Like the people that have been following me for a decade, I'm like, hey, this is happening. And then later that summer into the fall, it was like, hey, there feels to be a bubble. 99% are going to zero. So, but like what I felt that I needed to do last 6 months is put all my energy into eating my own dog food. We have a lot of things coming out in Q1 technology-wise and structure-wise and deal-wise for VFriends that I think is the obligation that I have, right? And so, you know, for me, the best course of action in, you know, the last 6 months has been, I can talk all I want, but what's going to actually impact VFriends is me doing. And so this hour right now would normally be an hour that I would have a meeting with a Toys R Us or a Macy's or a Reebok or, you know, like all the other things that I can't announce yet, or working through the wireframes of new technology of the new VFriends website that comes out here this month, or hiring, you know, a new head of legal or head of HR. We have 50 employees, or, you know, there's really things going on. So I think, you know, I'm aware that most people haven't actually built businesses that are running projects right now. And so, and I know that most people that are, can everybody hear me? Can somebody give me a plus one because I just hit
something? Yeah, for sure. We can hear you.
Cool. I'm also very empathetic that a lot of people that are commenting or on Twitter and Discords have never run a company. So they may not think about, you know, 2 hours of HR meetings on Thursday, November 19th, like I'm having, because I want the culture of VFriends to be good, because that's how we'll actually build a great company in 2027, 2029. Benji, I'll give you a good example. And this will make sense to you because we've been on a journey for a long time, aka I'm very aware of your career and it makes me super happy. And you can unmute to this. You probably remember roughly around the time I started VaynerMedia or when it was small, yes?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Good. So you can speak to this. You know, if I was held accountable with how much profit or how much revenue VaynerMedia made, you know, 5 years ago, there might be people that are upset. This year, VaynerX, which is not just VaynerMedia, it's Gallery Media Group, 1:37 p.m. and Pure Wow. It's the Sasha Group. It's Eva Nosadam, our production company. It's Vayner 3, our Web3 consulting firm. It's Vayner Commerce, our e-commerce consultant, the Sasha Group for SMBs. That, Jeremy, just for your, you know, I'm happy to share this. It did $300 million in revenue, and I have 2,000 employees globally. It's a real company, right? A lot of people in here don't even know that Gary Vaynerchuk, the businessman, exists. Like a shocking amount of people think I'm an influencer or a personality. So why do I say that? I say that because I know what I did for Wine Library and my dad. I know how I built the Gary V brand and for me. I know what I've done from day one for VaynerMedia. And that's exactly what I'm going to do for VeeFriends. But if I'm being watched every second of like the floor price or why didn't you do this or this project did that, why don't you do that? Well, then I'm going to lose because I need to stay focused. And so I tell everybody that, you know, that to answer your question, what can you do? You can create demand by building awareness if you're a creator because you have an audience and you can make content. And that's what I think creators should do for the projects they care about if they choose to do that. I personally have no wants or needs of anyone doing that because I don't want them to feel obligated and because I have it taken care of, but I'm very empathetic to why so many people want it done right away.
Thank you. And I just wanted to give 30 seconds to anybody that got introduced to you in the last 3 years, a little perspective. I was one of our first brand deals as creators, my wife and I, was through VaynerMedia back in the early days. We're talking like 2010 or 11, whenever you guys hit us up. And so I've seen your journey over a decade, not just over 10 months. So if you're part of this VeeFriends community, know that two reasons why I got into this project, Gary, is because number one, you've done so much for my family. I read your book, you know, back prior to 2010. Yep. And literally it's influence and touch everything. But secondly, I wasn't pumped up about, you know, how much the price is going to move in 10 months. I was looking forward to what you're going to do in 10 years because I saw you already accomplish that. Well, so for anybody that's part of the journey, hang on because the ride's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, to that point, like, you know, the prices, the gold rush took me by surprise, and I'm pretty good at this shit. The numbers got super high. You get caught up in that hysteria. I got excited myself. But, you know, if you told me this is where we're at, you know, 15, 18 months after the project, I'd be thrilled. We've got so much work and opportunity. Like, I really am excited in the way that I was to build everything I've ever built. Wine Library for my dad, VaynerMedia for me and my brother, and then myself when I bought out AJ after he decided he wanted to leave. Vayner Sports is now starting to make significant traction in UFC and baseball and football. And so, yeah, I mean, God willing, as long as I'm healthy, I already know exactly how this movie's going to end. And so it's very kind of you saying it. And I wish you a great year, brother. Sarah.
Sure, yeah. And last thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, one more thing. Everybody can have the label founder, but not everybody is a badass businessman. That's what you are, bro. So thank you again. And love being here.
Thanks, man. Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. If I can be mushy for 1 second, your videos on YouTube really helped me learn about like the basics of self-esteem and self-respect in my early 30s. So thank you for that. By the way,
I apologize, but like that statement, as sweet as Benji just was about like telling real stories and having confidence in me, like you couldn't even comprehend how that sentence means 8 trillion times more to me than anybody saying any other thing they could say. Getting people into a place of loving themselves, which then just fundamentally changes their life, is an obsession of mine. And so thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Somebody at the door.
Somebody's at the door. It really did. But yeah, thank you so much. You already answered my question about IP rights with in regards to NFT projects, which I totally agree with where you are, and I'm trying to do the same on a much smaller scale, obviously. But I guess my question would be instead, for the last 2 years, NFTs seems like they've had like an overall PR problem in the public eye.
Yeah.
Do you think this is solved by just like it's slowly integrating, or do you think we come up against hard? Okay.
No, I think most technology has issues. I mean, you should read the history of television. You should read how people talked about it. Or like, you know, people were upset that like the Walkman was this. Or by the way, remember early social network, Sarah? You might, I can't tell, you know, what age group you're in, but remember when people said that like if you were on AOL chat or you used MySpace, you would get kidnapped at the mall. Like, you know, there's always going to be, you know, scenarios where new technology is misunderstood. I would argue most people really don't even understand, including in this room, what the, like the whole thing is here, including myself. Like the evolution of this technology is profound. Decentralized servers, blockchains are profound. And NFTs are going to be incredible things in it. But NFTs are no different than apps and websites. Right? You know, like meaning websites are profound, like google.com is profound, but not every website is profound. And I think people get confused on how they talk about this space. NFTs are not BeFriends and Bored Ape and World of Women and Doodles. NFTs is an overall thing. We haven't even begun to talk about what they can actually do. And so I'm excited about that future. And, you know, the PR problem will go away. Right now, everything has a PR problem because our world is polarized. We had one of the most tragic sports events in the history of our American sports culture happen last night in front of millions of people's eyes. And people decided to turn that into a political debate. We're just polarized. We just have a lot of hurt in the world, and everything is like, what's not polarized, Sarah? What doesn't have it? Sarah, you can unmute on this. Well, let me ask you this question. Who doesn't, what doesn't have a PR problem right now, right? Like, it feels like everything in our world, like anything you bring up, one can argue has a PR problem with half the people, because the framework of politics is driving our society right now, not the framework of humanity or civility or kindness or benefit of the doubt or just giving people like the benefit of the doubt. Jesus Christ. I genuinely believe, Sarah, everybody on here, everybody who, I believe that people that have negative feelings towards me that publicly share it, I give them the benefit of the doubt. People are just incredibly incapable of having compassion and love. And I think NFTs is caught up in that. If NFTs were invented this way in 2007, it would be heralded like social media and apps were. We were in a different place with technology and pop culture and mainstream media and social media. We're just on fucking tilt right now. And so everyone's going to hate on everything about anything about anything. And that's just kind of where we're at.
Thank you so much.
Which, by the way, Sarah, is full circle to what you said first, which is my belief of leaving a positive impact on the world is if I get people to love themselves, they won't get caught up in all the negativity that's being thrown at them on a daily basis and get into dark, you know, channels, and instead will stay optimistic and happy. I'm happy every fucking day, Sarah. I keep things super simple. You know?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Cheers. And thanks again for your videos.
Of course. Quote, you're up.
Hey, what's going on, Gary?
What's good, Quote? How are you?
Doing great. God bless and alive. So every day is a good day. I'm going to divert into the real estate industry.
Okay.
So I'm a realtor in South Florida.
Yep.
And now that, you know, we're still very early in Web3. And you've probably seen some houses have gone to the blockchain.
I have.
So I'm curious, I still think we're pretty far away from it really getting into real estate, but just because we've already started to see some Web3 brokerages, even into like, you know, people selling land in Web3, just in general from Web2 real life and Web3 land, where do you think, at least for 2023, we're going to see real estate go within, you know, NFTs or the blockchain?
You know, I think it's an inevitable outcome. I think leases and title insurance and all this stuff is clearly going there. I think the bigger issue is, I think both the real estate industry and the Web3 blockchain NFT industry is on defense here for this 2023. Do you know what I mean? quote. I'm sure you can unmute. I mean, we, this is, I want to talk about broad topics, so I think this can help people. You, I assume you've seen a softening in your world. Yes.
Yeah.
And are you of the mindset that it's going to get much softer, or are you kind of hopeful because you have your own financial interest in it and you're delusional to yourself or overly optimistic, or where are you in your mindset?
Like in general real estate or like based on what it's going with Web3?
In general real estate.
I'm an optimist, but I'm also realistic with how the market is. I mean, just like how Web3 had its gold rush last year was a major gold rush for a lot of sellers. Yep. So now a lot of sellers are off their high horse. You know, I'm actually able to negotiate deals, Correct. Get reduction on prices. Correct. So it's been great dealing with my buyers. So, I mean, it's kind of because I've dealt with both spectrums that it's
that you've been there before. So thus you've seen this movie before. So you're not in total panic mode and you tried to do the best you could to not get caught when this was going to happen.
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, I told my buyers, this isn't going to last forever. And I told my sellers, this isn't going to last forever.
And I want everyone to hear this because they help a ton of people in the Web3. AKA, how old are you, brother, if I may ask?
I'm 30.
Right. So that's interesting. That's pretty young. Are you saying that you, in the markets you've been in, you've been through a full cycle of good and bad already? You didn't, because 2008, you were too young for that, or were you already in the game because you got in early on family business?
No, I wish. I've been doing full-time real estate for 5 years. We're in 2023 now. So I got in, you know, a year or two pre-COVID. So I seen. You know, price, because in South Florida, I've seen where the prices were, where COVID hit, where people got scared. And then the monstrous, like just as an example, I have a client who bought a
go
home.
Ahead. Go ahead, tell us.
I've already seen it all.
No, please. I want everybody to learn from that. You had a client. Go ahead. Give us all the data. You had a client.
I had a client who bought in December of 2019. December 2019. Home for $300,000. And it's crazy how now if she wants to sell her house, she could probably sell it for over $500,000. So I've seen people who've gotten at the perfect timing, and I've seen new people who've gotten not at the perfect time. So it's like, it's weird because even though I wasn't there for the 2008 crash, so much has happened within the past
two years within real estate.
That
you've already got a sense and you did all the homework. I love it. Anyway, because I want to get as many people as before I bounce out, couple things. I believe that if someone has a very unique home, very high end, very unique, that they'll be able to put it on the blockchain and get a percentage of every single sale of that home in perpetuity. Once laws and understanding of how this all works happens, that is a scenario that I think has potential. And I'm very fascinated by that. I think on the day-to-day mundane, title insurances, leases, all these things, all the things that happen on the ledgers at the county level, things of that nature. It's of course going to go to the blockchain. It's a better technology than paper.
See, that's funny because I think from title work, if people don't know, when you buy a house, you're literally sitting down for like an hour in a title office signing like 50 pages when this can be so much easier done on the blockchain.
Correct. It's coming, brother. But and you have to understand, in 1997, 1998, 99, I told people that people would buy wine on the internet and people were like, why? And I was like, because it's better, because it's easier. Like people take time to adapt to new ways of doing things. Somebody might say, well, I don't want to do that on the blockchain. I don't trust it, which is funny because it's much easier to trust that than it is to trust paper that could be lost in a fire at the municipality. But that's just not how people think yet.
100%. With last thing before, because I know that people want to speak, something that you said, which is kind of where I was leading to, is that, you know, with Web3, with NFTs, you get royalties if things sell and, you know, perpetuity. Yep. So I'm curious, and just from the final for the next person, if I'm wondering where that will lead to. If like, if I own a $3 million home,
I don't think that I sell it to Joe Schmo. I don't think that will be unique enough potentially. Think about it, right? Because Joe Schmo buys that and he knows that when he sells that, he's going to give up a piece to you forever. He'll just buy a separate $3 million home because there's 8 drillion of that. But if it's a home on the top of the mountain in St. Bart's and it's the only one and it's 25 million, well, then you're not going to give a shit if you're that buyer. So I think it's going to start at the tippy top. If I'm completely guessing here, but this is what I see. And then it will trickle down over time, over 100 years, to becoming more standardized potentially now that the technology exists.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely see that. Well, I mean, I appreciate
Take
your
care,
time.
Brother.
I wanted to get into a different aspect.
Stay well, brother.
You have a great one.
Thank you for doing that. So let's bring up David
Hey, Gary.
Hey, David. How are you?
Web3 loves you. I love you. People say I sound and look like you, but I've never put it to the two and two, but it's always worked.
Well, listen, I'm flattered by that. You're handsome and you sound great, so let's keep it moving.
That's right. That's what I keep telling people. He's my brother. He's my twin. So, you know. And then, so two quick things. One, we just had a neighborhood yard sale.
Yes.
You know, the whole community, and I picked up two boxes of 85 Tops baseball cards, unopened in the box, two sets, $5. Big W for that.
I love that, brother. Congrats.
I watched all those videos too. I wanted to be selfish and ask a question for myself, but there's a lot of people on Twitter right now in the Web3 space building.
Yep.
And you know, we're in a bear market. Do you see a bull market coming?
Of course.
What can people do right now to build towards that? Because there's a lot of people on here trying to get active Web3 jobs.
Yeah, to get jobs, to go to, like, everyone's doing it actively right now, right? Education, having better information is always an advantage. 2,400 people right now are allocating their precious time to be here with the hopes that I or somebody on stage says something that gives them an insight or a thought or a spark to an idea. It all comes down to the same thing, David. Do I see a bull market? Yes, I do, because that's how life works. But do I know when? Absolutely not. Do I think the macro pieces of our society are in place for that to happen in 2023? I don't. But I have no idea if I'm right. Like, I didn't know when the bear market was going to start. You know, I didn't, but I knew it was going to happen. Hence why I made all those videos, because the behavior wasn't right. There wasn't logic. There was greed. But I think the bear market will stay forever for 99% of the projects, David. And the bull market will happen for the top 1% and 2%. As far as micro bull moments for everyone in here, you know, I would say to everybody, share your best thoughts. Share your best thoughts on LinkedIn. Share your best thoughts, not your overly emotional thoughts, not your hot takes just to get likes or more followers. Share your best thoughts every day, and that will lead to opportunity. It will lead to jobs. It will lead to speaking opportunities. It will lead to virality. It will lead to business development. Too many people now share thoughts for followers or for clout or for a quick adrenaline boost or to like fix them being unhappy in the microsecond instead of sharing their most thoughtful thoughts. You know, if you share your most thoughtful thoughts, you can really be in a much better place. And so I would tell people to really consider that. Share your best thoughts, build. As far as like investing during this period, very hard to predict. You know, I could see everything going down another 30%, 50%. I could see this being the bottom. I have no idea. I really don't. I genuinely don't. It's why I haven't talked a lot publicly in the last 4 months. I was like, uh-oh, like this is not a time where I can like have a good insight. There's just too much emotion, too much going on. There was a midterm election, as you know, in November. There was just a lot going on, Russia war. So I did what I believe in. I just got busy and put in work and built out the organization and worked on new technologies that we'll unveil here soon and focused on VCon. VCon's going to be outrageous this year. Like way more people want to come because they saw how epic it was last year. I'm going to broaden it just like this chat actually represents VCon a little bit. There'll be a lot more business people, a lot more marketing people, a lot more leadership. Like the conference is going to be epic from a content standpoint. The full love will be there again. We're going to launch tickets differently because I've learned experience matters. You know, just a lot of stuff. So I'm really excited. And that's what I would say, my friend. I'm going to keep it moving because I want to get more people in. But Happy New Year, David.
No, you too. Thank you. I just wanted to ask that on behalf of the community. We Web3 loves you.
I love you, my man.
The community loves you. Thanks again for holding these spaces. Bye-bye.
Let's go with Maya.
Hello. How are you?
And Ernesto on deck. Hey, Maya, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little sick. I'm in Dubai trying to get my project moving in Dubai. I'm a big fan. You actually changed my life, and I'm an entrepreneur, and I have an NFT project just because of you. So I'm very grateful. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And also, I have my grandparents are Soviet refugees, so I really, really
resonate. Yeah, yes.
I resonate with your story.
So are my grandparents. My grandma and my great grandparents. Everybody else passed in Russia and Soviet Union, but it's a real pleasure. Go ahead. What's your question?
Thank you so much. Yes. So I am an NFT founder. Mm-hmm. I launched Meta Queens Club a couple of weeks ago, not that long ago,
okay.
Doing the art reveal in 2 weeks. And a lot of people tell me that it's like, yeah, it was a bad time to launch a project,
yep.
But I still wanted to do it. And okay. I'm even like, I came from Canada to Dubai to help with the marketing and all that. So what do you suggest for someone like me who actually took the risk?
I don't think you took the risk. There's never a bad time to launch a good business, and there's never a good time to launch a bad business. Let there be no confusion. Like, there, people are, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. Some of the greatest companies of all time were launched in recessions, depressions, horrible macroeconomic conditions, bear markets. You know, the reality is that what my recommendation would be is for you to continue to build demand and value. And there's different times. You know, I feel like a lot of VF holders would like me to create a little more demand right now, and I understand that. But I'm trying to do the things that will do that. I just don't have the ability to do it at the timing or do the cheap short-term moves that would create more demand and potentially rise what they're looking for, but it would be at the expense of the project long-term. And so that's, you know, those are the balances that a good leader has to think through, and you need to be a good leader for this project. Let me ask you a question. Why did you launch the project?
So unfortunately, I lost my cousin to cancer, and it was because of her unhealthy lifestyle. So I want to touch more lives and bring more people to a healthier lifestyle. So I have a lot of clients in Web2, mm-hmm. and I want to onboard them to Web3 through NFTs. And I think that's a really
Is there a utility to Meta Queens?
Yeah, 100%. So we do have fitness products, so I'm rebranding everything under MQC.
Okay.
So we have resistance bands and then fitness programs. So it's going to be access. Instead of people paying like $1,000 for every 8 weeks to train with me, they can have access to me online through the NFTs. So one time pass.
Makes sense. Just keep providing tremendous content and more access to yourself. That's what I would do.
I love that. Thank you so much.
You got it.
At NFT NYC, and I'm going to be speaking in more events. I hope
good
I
for
see
you
next event.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Cool. Ernesto, you can go ahead and unmute, please.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can, Ernesto. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much. And happy New Year
to
all of you, Gary. All the best for 2023.
Thank you.
Gary, my question for you is, and I think you know me already, but I'm a private banker here in the New York area. And you talk about two things that I think are juxtaposition that I want to get your input on how to balance them. Number one is defense wins championship. And number two is I'm an offense-oriented person, meaning I'd rather win 114 to 86 than win 22.
And you've heard,
22.
And you know I am too, because I've said that 1,000 times.
Exactly.
But
how do you balance
in this current
environment?
Defense is practicality. Not fear.
Okay.
Got it? I'll give you an example. In American football, my favorite sport, prevent defense, the last couple minutes of a game where you change your defense to stop them from scoring, even though you've stopped them from scoring most of the game, has bad data and shows that it hasn't worked, which is why the league has gone away from it. You don't see it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in practicality, not fear. And so I'm just back to like the last 6 months for me. I've just been practical. I'm not scared of shit, Ernesto. I'm pumped with what's going on this is a real technology. I prefer that everybody was up on everything they owned. I wish I was up on everything I owned, but that's just not part of a high risk gold rush scenario. When I was making those videos that 99% were going to zero, I decided that I didn't want to sell my alien friends or my crypto goons or my, you know, women and weapons. I just was going to hold it long term because I decided to believe in those people, and it's okay if it went down. I wasn't looking to transact and maximize my financial thing. That's the decision I made for myself. Other people can make their decision, but I think to answer your question directly, offense I always think is better, but the defense championship thing, and I referenced it the other day, is like, you got to be practical. Some people just gamble. So like, do you know how many people in here, Ernesto, are gambling? There's a very big difference between being, you know, high risk thoughtful versus complete guessing and gambling. And there's just a ton, and that's why I'm getting so many emojis right now, the 100% and fist pumps. Thank you for everyone. Like, because it's true. Like, everyone here knows. Like, it's, you know, it's just the reality of it. Like, I think people are guessing, and I'm not guessing. Like, I picked my projects for a reason. I'm running VFriends for a reason. I know what the outcome's going to be. And so that's how I see it, my friend. I'm on triple offense. I've added 30 staff since winter started. 20 staff. 20 or 30, right? Like, that's not defense. That's offense. But it's practical. You know what I mean?
100%. Makes total sense.
You know
sense
why
now.
It's practical?
Thank you, man.
Why it's practical? Because I raised capital on top of the capital we already had, right? And I gave myself time to build a real company. And so, you know, like, I'm a market guy. I root for the market. I care about what the market cares about, not what Gary cares about. So if people are like, Gary, what do you think about royalties? I'm like, whatever the market thinks. You know what I mean, Ernesto? Whatever the market thinks. Mm-hmm, not me, mm-hmm. Not 20 people, not even 150 people, not 1,000 people. Like, the overall market. And so I need to adjust to business models and things of that nature. And I'm always willing to. And so that's where I'm at, brother.
Got it. Thank you, man. Brother. Thank you so much.
Let's go with Josh Courage next.
Yo, what's up, Gary? I appreciate you pulling me on here, man. This is awesome.
Of course, happy
this
New
is
Year.
Exciting for me, for everybody.
Awesome.
Hey, yeah. Same to you.
I want to do it more, brother. I mean, I do it a lot. You know, I feel like I feel like I was so hyper focused on just like getting everything in line for 23 with VFriends. Like, every minute was internal, but I really hope the new year will give me more opportunities to do this. So happy to be with you. Tracy S. Tracy S. is next. Go ahead, man.
I know you'll make it happen. That's just what you do. I'm actually currently putting together some bison pictures on Midjourney right now.
I love that.
And motivating myself towards this kid's book that I'm going to always be pushing on you, this kid's bison book. But that's not what this is going to be about today. And I also want to get some alpha on the CNC card, because that's me and my small little crew in there are going crazy with those things and having a blast with those. And we definitely want to know if there's anything building
there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. Like, but there's full-time effort to get some tournaments off the ground this year, additional decks, like expansion, broad distribution, tournaments. The Sports Card National is going to be a big thing for the Compete and Collect cards that came out. I'll tell you, and you can speak to this for all the people here, the Compete and Collect, the VFriends cards on eBay have done incredibly well price-wise, considering real estate, stocks, NFTs. The demand and supply curve there has clearly worked, and we haven't done a whole lot.
Gary,
go ahead, my friend.
Gary, I use CNC cards, and I flipped my way up to my second VF1. I got a humble hummingbird flipping CNC cards.
That's insane.
It took me 3 months.
That's insane.
Building into the community, having a blast. It was huge. That was my ultimate goal with them. It was so great.
For everybody here that doesn't know, the utility, quote unquote utility, because I think of utility broadly, the utility for Series 2 VFriends that a lot of people forget about, you know, because the bear market came right after, was you got a box shipped to your home for free of collectible cards. And they've done extremely well on eBay. For everybody here who likes card flipping or collectible flipping or flipping, I highly recommend you do what Josh did. If you look carefully, like, Josh, I sometimes look at what people are doing on eBay and how they're buying bulk and selling one by one and grading. And it like makes me sad, because I'm like, fuck, it's such a big op, but like, I can't do it. You know, it'd be so weird. But like, yeah, definitely for people in here, like, absolutely check out eBay, check out VFriends cards. There's a lot going on there.
Discord, man. Yeah, Discord. Everything's happening huge in the Discord and the cards, the car channel. Thing,
I love it.
It's amazing. Everybody's being helpful too, so it's great. But anyway, but Gary, my real question for you here, just given the business leadership, all that kind of fun stuff, is I'm in the fitness industry. I've been in it for 23 years, you know, built my own business, doing really, really well. Obviously moved a lot online post-pandemic. And a big thing I'm trying to get into now is speaking. And I know you've obviously talked a lot about speaking, and my big thing is fitness, health, lifestyle. And how do you sort of recommend kind of, I don't know, harnessing a theme or a specific
practice.
Thing? Or you,
practice.
I mean, when it comes to
you know what I did? This is for everybody who wants to speak. Google conferences. Like, if I'm you, where do you live?
Rochester, New York, right. Western New York.
I would literally say fitness conferences in Buffalo, enter, find a small one with 50 people, and then email the people that are putting it on and say, can I speak for free? Here's what I got. No bullshit. That's what I did when nobody knew who I was. I got a bunch of speeches and practice. I actually got paid for my first one. Somebody reached out cold because Wine Library TV was happening. And then backwards, once I realized I liked it, I just reached out to people and did it for free. Just spoke for free and honed my craft. It's kind of like doing open mic as a comedian.
Right.
But people are scared of rejection.
Yeah, my
brother, you know how many people rejected me? Yeah, they're like, I don't know who you are. I don't care about wine. I don't give a shit. What do you know about the internet? You sell wine. I'm like, okay. And just, it was okay that they rejected me. Don't be scared of rejection. Push yourself out there.
Cool. I like it. Yeah, my first few were at some high schools and a couple of colleges. And that's kind of where I thought I'd push, just because it's, because that's where my specialty is with high school and college.
Do it, brother. Literally just reach out to, like, get a glass of wine, coffee, water, put on your favorite song, and bang out 174 emails so you can get one answer.
Boom, done. All right, consider it done. I also want to, I wrote a Brave Bison song, and I know a V-Friend shared it. I'm about to drop the Humble Hummingbird song very, very soon.
I love it, brother.
So I want everybody to know that's coming out very soon.
Good luck, brother.
I appreciate it, Gary. Thank you so much for everything.
Stay well. Tracy S.
Hey there, Gary.
Hey, Trace.
Hey, so I can't wait to see you guys in Indianapolis.
Can't wait. VCon is going to be bananas, Trace. We're so much further ahead. Like, it's going
to
be
fun. Well, you guys did such a good job last year. I just have to say.
Trace, you know what I said? I said to the whole team, I said, VCon this year is going to be worse than last year because the gods were smiling down at us. And, like, it went over so goddamn well, like, operationally, vibe-wise. I'm, like, genuinely curious about what will happen this year. I'm already anticipating this year having more stumbling, even though it should theoretically be dramatically better. I'm so excited about the content. I'm so excited about the surprises. I'm so excited about the entertainment.
Well, that just happens when you learn, when you learn from your, you know, mistakes.
It's kind of like Super Bowl.
Then you try to make changes and you got to just keep doing it, you know?
That's right. Go ahead.
So the reason I'm here is because I just wanted to say hi again. You know, last time we met at VCon, if you forgot, I'm Jassy's mom.
Yep.
I had just quit my job as a teacher, and I've taken the year to really learn from managing his art, and I've done some of my own, also taking a fintech class or two.
Love.
Finishing here this month, and just really I just need some words of wisdom on how to get out there in a new industry
by deploying the patience that's required, even the emotional part of the end there. And I remember when we spoke in Miami, you and I, about like the pressure of managing his career. It's just, listen, I've met you enough times now. My read is that you are an incredibly well-intended, wonderful woman that has this, you know, like, and I think you have to like rely on that, Trace. Like, I feel like you question yourself a little bit too much. And I just want you to give yourself a little breathing room in 2023. You just said to me, Gary, you'll make mistakes and try new things and more mistakes will happen. I want you to take your own advice. How do you get yourself out there? You just did it. You just did it. You literally just did it. You took action today. I did a space. You decided to show up. You requested to speak. The serendipity of the world, because I'm, as you can see here, it cuts off your name. So I didn't even know it was you until it was you. And I clicked in your face while you started talking, right? So it was just like pure serendipity. And then now you're saying hello. You're on the top of the stage. I have a very funny, I'm just going to look at your account. You see your account here. Okay. 1,004 followers. Okay. My intuition is you'll have more than 1,004 followers after this 2-3 minutes. And then back to what I said earlier, you'll say something smart about fintech or managing your child or managing in general or the NFT space after a year. You said your best thing, not the thing that is hyperbole, not the thing that will get clicks, not the thing that will sell your art. You said your best thing, the thing that you best can add to the conversation. And then PK, who I just saw heart what I just said, reaches out to you and says, hey, how about this? Or Anthony with the iguana says, how about that? Or somebody says something and like, you just build. I think the problem is everybody just wants to get to the finish line too fucking fast. I don't even think I'm halfway through my race. And most of you think that I've already been given my trophy, retired, drank champagne on a fucking island. Do you understand? Like, really, I'll say it again. Every person in this room thinks that I've already won my race, was given a trophy, retired, moved to an island, and drink champagne all day. And I, in my heart and soul, Tracy, deep heart and soul, feel like I'm somewhere in the middle of my race. And I just don't want the race to end for the trophy. And I feel like everyone on this call wants to win the race and get the trophy and be done.
See, and I'm the opposite. I feel like I'm at the very beginning again.
So is that good? Because I equally...
It's good, but I just don't know where... Like, I knew where I was going.
Keep going.
But I feel like I need that change at this point in my life.
So that's,
and I'm just not sure where to take the next step.
Well, what are you scared of? The financial ramifications of making missteps?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you view it this way? I'm taking this leap into this new space. My son brought me into it. I've seen it. I've seen the good and the bad. I'm going with my intuition because I need it. I need it now. We can hear it in your voice, right? And why don't you to yourself say, if God forbid in the next 24 months, this doesn't happen, I'll be so happy that I tried and the things that I've learned that if I go back and take a practical job and something that I don't want to do as much, I'll be bringing all this wonderful stuff that I brought from the last 12 and 24 months. And it was a win regardless. Yes, I would love for this to be my substantial financial reality and I could go with it. I don't want to go back to whatever you left, but it's okay if you do. Because you could go back for 4 years and then come back and try something new in 6 years and you'll still be a young woman. I think you're putting too much pressure that it has to work out. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because I feel like it at this point, I mean, it's because you really made all of this happen. And if I don't make something of it, then I don't know what that means.
It's already been, Jossie already did it. He already got the taste of it. He learned so much. What was he, 15 when this all started? 14?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's already won. He learned. I won selling baseball cards when I was a kid. It set the foundation. Jossie's going to have all this future. You are not required to do anything with Jossie's success in this space. You've also, think about how much you've won. Because you've managed him, think about how much more time you two had with each other last year. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Isn't that the greatest win? Like all of us as parents, one day get old enough to a place where like we wish we spent more time with our kids. The serendipity of this already gave you more time with Jossie. You already won. He won. You won. It won. Don't create some fake place of victory. You know why so many people are unhappy here, Trace? They all make up this thing that they need to win on. They're all stuck in fucking school. I need to get an A, this report card. And it fucks them up. It's not how life works. Look what you did. You put your perspective into, I now better fucking do this. Or it was all for naught. Instead of, this was a fucking blessing. Let's see what else is on the horizon. That's fucking insanely different.
I'm kind of in between those two things right now. Well, and that's what's so...
Well, let's get you the fuck out of the old. Like, I get that you're in between. I'm telling you to get the fuck out of making this a negative. Everything's a positive.
Gotcha.
We need to make life simpler. Let me say this. Let's say you were serendipitously the next big artist because you had put out a piece and it went viral, right? And that brought you to VCon as a speaker on the third year of VCon where you and Jossie wouldn't have been in VCon 2024. And let's say on the flight to VCon 2024, because now you went viral and you're making $100,000 a year on your art and you're like, oh my God, this is, or 500 or whatever the number you have in your mind. But that flight crashes and you die. Would you have picked to go viral as an artist now and have that happen? Or would you pick not ever going viral and living to 97? Which one would you pick?
Living to 97.
That's how life actually works, yet nobody's willing to admit it. You have no idea where life's journeys are going to take you. Maybe it's not a plane accident. Maybe it's choking on a steak or a car accident or who the fuck knows. But why are we always choosing the negative instead of the positive? Why don't we just decide everything that's happening is happening for good. And let's stop putting so much pressure on ourselves. It's great to have ambition. It's great to have standards. It's great to have morals, but not at the expense of your daily mental health.
For sure.
I mean, I have the biggest ambitions in the world, right? I really do. I'm not bullshitting you. They're fucking big. But I wake up every day happy that I'm trying, not if I've achieved it or not.
Right.
Love yourself for the intent. That was my first reaction to you. I've already got a good sense of like you And I think you're very lovely and have such big intent for your son and yourself, but I think it's eating you up a little bit too much.
I agree.
I think you can get out of it, Trace. I think we can get you out of this in this moment. This is why I'm hanging on a little longer. Like you're doing great. You're fucking well-intended mother with clear capabilities, which is why you hold yourself to a certain standard. It's beautiful, but like, you don't need to prove anything to anybody. Jossie's going to love you regardless.
For sure.
And so I love that you're trying to hold yourself up to a standard or achieve this, or I know what you're feeling. You're trying to strike the iron while it's hot and like create more happiness. I get it, but I'm telling you, just take a deep breath and be happy for the opportunity to even strike the iron while it's hot. Do you understand?
Yes.
If you can make it about the opportunity to strike the iron while it's hot versus striking the iron while it's hot, it changes everything.
Gotcha.
Darling, you're doing so great. I see the way you look at your son. I've interacted with you now 3, 4, 5 times. I've seen it. I've seen enough. You're fucking wonderful. You're enough, Trace. I promise you, you're enough.
Thank you, Gary.
You really are. I'm not saying this to make you feel nice. I'm not even saying it to help the other 500 people that I know are in this space that need to hear it. I'm saying because I've seen it. You know how many parents are trying to like siphon off their child? They're so insecure. They want to claim they're the reason their child's success. You don't do any of the bad things. You don't. I admire you. He's very lucky to have you.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that.
You know how many dads and moms are trying to take credit for their kids on the field play? It's wild. How many care about what money's in it for them? They don't have their best intent. They're trying to fill a void of insecurity in a negative way. You're trying to fill a void of insecurity in a positive way. I admire that. I'm just trying to get you to understand you don't need to fill that void. You just need to keep rolling well-intended and enjoy the opportunity of being a human being.
I appreciate that.
Did you get value from this?
Yes.
What? Just to wrap it up, like, what do you think of all the things that were just said?
What?
Yeah. Out of all the things that were just said, which one kind of landed the most for you? Like, fuck, that's, yes.
That I'm enough the way I am.
Yep.
And I don't need to prove anything.
Yep.
And to continue to be patient and thoughtful about the moves we make.
I can't even comprehend how perfect of a recap that was, because it was both the emotional and the practical. And this is what I sense from you. You just made me feel so good, because answering that hard question on the spot at the height of emotion, for you to go to the gray and the black and white, just gives me confidence that you're going to be standing in 16 years in a very good place. And I can't wait to have that hug.
Awesome.
I'm telling you, enjoy this. This is fucking amazing. We're all very lucky. There's that viral post going around about being born in 1900, about the Spanish flu and World War I and World War II. And I'm so glad people are seeing it. This is why I always talk about people's grandparents. We've completely lost perspective. We're so blessed. If you were on this Twitter space right now, if it is the middle of a weekday and you have the ability to be on this Twitter space using this technology, having this conversation, I promise you, your life is blessed amongst the 8 billion people that walk the earth today, and definitely the hundreds of billions of people that have worked and walked the earth over the last century and 2 centuries and 5 centuries. We're fucking blessed. We have hot water. Trace.
Absolutely.
We have fucking hot water.
Absolutely.
My mother, because the Soviet Union was so backwards, my mother grew up in a household where she had to go in the cold winter Russia to go to the bathroom. And we worry when our Wi-Fi is not working or that we can't buy a fucking burka bag or a pair of rare Nike. I mean, we're fucking lost in our blessings. You're extremely lucky. You are managing your son's career and being an artist. Are you fucking kidding me? You're fucking blessed. And you are more than enough. I'm very good with people. I've gotten the luxury of spending those 30 collective minutes with you, 6 minutes at a time. He's lucky to have you. And I'm pumped that you took that away. And it's true. And say that to yourself every morning when you brush your teeth, and then go fucking crush today.
Gotcha.
Love you. Love all of you. Please leave your comments and thoughts, everyone, on this space. Because that's what I'm going to read for the next 7 minutes while in transit. I love you. We'll do it again. Happy, happy, healthy new year. See ya.